Hello, listeners. This week is a very, very special episode. It is officially the 52nd episode of the podcast, so we figured instead of doing a thing about media, we'd celebrate us. So join us for this one-year anniversary special.
Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we'll be discussing ourselves? Question mark.
My favorite topic.
Yes, Val's favorite topic. This is our 1 year anniversary. We thought it might be fun to just talk about ourselves, who we are, why we're doing this, where we come from.
Yeah. You all should be extremely surprised and impressed that it's taken me a year to talk about myself. Because, as Chloe will tell you, I do not stop.
It's true. I know everything there is to know about Val.
Yeah.
Yep. Just don't ask me any questions about your life. Cool. I don't know. Like, how do you want to get started?
Well, first of all, how was your day?
How was my day? It was busy. So to give people context, I feel like I've kind of mentioned this offhand before, but I work as an epidemiologist. So I am one of the people who studies epidemics.
Yeah, she creates EpiPens.
I create EpiPens. At least that's better than the people who think epidemiology and they think epidermis. So they think I do something with skin. You don't know. People have come up to me and like asked me how I'm doing. And when I say that, they like show me a mole. And are like, how is this okay? And it's like, no, I don't know.
You immediately say, no, sorry, it's cancer.
Yeah, sorry. It's terminal. Stage 11, cancer. You're going to be dead tomorrow. I work as an epidemiologist. That means I do. So it's a pretty big field. And there's, you know, some epidemiologists who are what I call the like gumshoe epidemiologists who do the like outbreak investigation. I don't really do that. I do a lot more statistical analysis and trying to model disease outcomes correctly. And so I spent a lot of day writing code. And that was my day today. How was your day?
My day was just fine. I went to work and then I came home like an hour ago.
Yeah.
I had a burrito bowl and now I'm here. It was a pretty good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What made it a good day?
I don't know. I'm just like, I'm a morning person and an evening person and a day person, so I'm always happy.
So this is something that you and I have in common that I feel like none of our friends do, in that like we are morning people. Like I am capable of waking up and just being fine. Like I am not groggy in the morning usually.
Yeah. Like and tomorrow I wake up 5:30 because I start work at 7. And like when I have those days, it's completely fine. It actually makes the day go by faster. I don't know.
I mean, I definitely feel the most alive when I'm sleep deprived. That's for sure.
It's that desperate exhaustion of your body not knowing what's happening to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just that like adrenaline rush of like, if I can make it through today, if I just need to fight through today and then I get to sleep and then everything will be good, and it makes it go really quickly for me.
But I don't also think that's like, actually adrenaline. Most of our friends are in theater or some sort of venue and like that sort of work adjacent. So they work evenings and nights. So it makes sense.
I just feel like morning people are rare enough in general though. Like even among my coworkers, a lot of us, you know, we start the day at 9:30. There's a lot of people who just are very grumpy in the morning.
So like my workplace, everyone is fine. I think everyone is a morning person, or at least they're used to like getting there early and working, and you know, it's really weird. I don't think I've ever worked in an environment quite like that, because I started working in finance recently.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I don't know. There's something good about the place where I work, where everyone's like energetic, so it's like a positive feedback loop.
I don't know if I would like that, honestly. being around a bunch of energetic people is, like, suspicious.
Like, I don't think they're as energetic as I am. I think I'm, okay. like, the weird, smiley person. But overall, everyone is pretty good about it there.
Can I ask, when you wake up in the morning, because I've always been curious about this, does it take you a while to, like, get out of bed? Are you groggy? Do you have to have tea or coffee? Or, like, how does your morning routine go?
It depends. So, like, we've had D&D on Sundays for a while. And, like, on Mondays, I start work at 7.
Yeah.
So that means if I have a car, I wake up at 6. If I don't have my car, I wake up at 5:30. Right? And we've been going late. So on days like that, I, like, at 5:30, I might stay in bed for another 10 minutes or so just to, like, wake up. But then I have no time for, like, breakfast or anything like that, and I just go.
Okay. What is your breakfast of choice?
That was going to be my next thing. Yeah, if I do have the time and I get up right away, which is most other days of the week, I still don't have breakfast. And I use that extra time to just, like, sit on my phone or something.
Most important meal of the day or whatever.
Well, that is a lie. That's a lie. I found that when I eat breakfast, I'm just hungry all day. I get hungry by the time it's noon. And then after I have lunch, I get hungry again by the time I get home, and I'm just hungry all day. But if I don't have breakfast, I can just not eat till, like, 7, 8, 9 in the evening and be completely fine.
Val does some crazy, like, one meal a day system, which I know a lot of people on Reddit swear by.
It is not a system.
Okay.
It is my forgetful mind and irresponsibility.
Okay. If you call it a system, though, people are more impressed.
It's a system. I set it up. It's color-coded. There's a spreadsheet.
Like, the difference between an executive function disorder and a very strategic diet is just having a name for it.
Well, like, okay, if I am going to the gym, for example, right? Like, I eat lunch at work. I eat lunch around, like, 12, maybe 1, whatever. So if I have lunch, I'm fine at the gym. If, for example, I didn't have lunch for some reason, which almost never happens, and I go to the gym, then I'll feel a little tired.
Okay.
But then once I get there, I'm energetic again because it's super fun. But, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, do you have breakfast every day?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there are some days where I'm just not hungry in the morning and I won't eat breakfast, I guess, until later, but I've got, like, a morning ritual where I'll make a cup of tea and listen to the NPR, like, news update while the tea is brewing, and then I'll have some kind of, I don't know, usually some kind of, like, prepared breakfast bar thing, variety of ones.
So you were trying to call me out for not having breakfast, and your breakfast is, like, a breakfast bar?
That's a breakfast. it's got what do you think of breakfast? Do I have to make a full, like,
no, English, like, breakfast, you know, like, with the, like, beans, eggs, and the sausage? Or cereal, or
I'm allergic to eggs. I'm allergic to eggs. Bagels are really chewy and difficult for my jaw, so I can only have them on special occasions.
Cereal? Just wait till it's soggy, and then your jaw will be fine. There's no eggs in it.
Okay.
You have cereal at your house.
Yes, I do.
I've seen it.
I do not eat my cereal with milk. I eat it dry. I only eat it dry. I know, I heard that sigh. I know this is, like, a controversial thing to do, but
it's interesting. You know what? There's more milk for us.
No, say what you really feel, Val.
I don't know. You know what? It's funky fresh. You do you. I also just like cereal dry sometimes.
I think it's a lingering thing from childhood of, like, I had a lot of, like,
you had to walk up and down the hill for 5 miles every morning to get the milk from the cows.
So I had a lot. I had a lot of, it turns out, allergies, and my parents never went and got me tested.
Really?
Yeah, I know. They meant to. So they scheduled the appointment.
You have allergies?
I know. But they scheduled the appointment for it, and then the doctor called and said, given that on the like intake form, you said Chloe's allergies are super severe, we're not comfortable doing the allergy testing here. You would need to do it at a allergy clinic attached to a hospital in case
we have a reaction.
In case I have a bad enough reaction that they have to rush me to the ER. And
immediately one of the nurses brought a dog in.
So for context, I am definitely allergic to dogs. That's what I carry an EpiPen for, which is really sad because I really love dogs and had a dog growing up. I mean, she died when I was 4, but the only dog I was never allergic to, probably because I was with her from such a young age. But anyway, so the long and short of it is I have a lot of like food sensory issues, but not because I have anything. Well, I'm sure I've got some neurological stuff, but like
she has a spreadsheet for it.
Oh God. it mostly I think has to do with the fact that I had like I am lactose intolerant mildly, not severely, but mildly, and then I've got all these food allergies, and I think I developed a lot of avoidances and a lot of like visceral reactions to a lot of foods because I was allergic to them when I was young, and I didn't have the words to say like, hey mom, you know, this carrot makes my throat hurt. Like, I didn't know how to say that when I was 4, so I would just refuse to eat it. And they just thought I was a picky eater, but really, I had all these allergies. And I think the milk thing was, like, every time I had milk, I would get so gassy and bloated feeling, and I didn't have the words to tell them that, and they just thought I was being super picky.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, like, I think that's kind of the origin story of my why I don't like milk in my cereal, I guess. I really should try, like, oat milk sometime because I love oat milk. I think it's, like, the best liquid substance aside from Coke Zero.
I don't think I've ever actually tried it.
Oat milk?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that good by itself. Because it's kind of like, I don't know, have you ever had oatmeal with no flavoring?
I don't think I've ever had, like, in anything.
Oh, you've never had oatmeal?
Oh, oatmeal. I thought you said oat milk.
No, sorry. This time oatmeal. Yeah, oatmeal. Have you ever had oatmeal? Unflavored?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that same kind of taste. It's very bland, but, like, the nice thing about it is it works so well in things, and when you add a bit of sweetening and something else, it really complements the flavor well. So, like, I wouldn't just go out and, like, drink a cup of oat milk, but I would get it for my cereal, or it's great in tea, and it's awesome. I made, like, an oat milk shake once that was actually pretty good. Anyway.
I mean, that's, yeah. I don't think I've ever had, like, a thing that I didn't like as a child.
Yeah.
I found it to be a very American kind of, like, culture where the kids eat different meals from their parents.
Yeah.
For example, like, I'm the oldest of 4, and 3 of us were born in Russia, and my youngest brother was born here. So the 3 oldest ones, we have always been fine eating the same exact meal that the adults are eating daily at parties, at, like, events. There's never, like, the kids' menu and the adults' menu. It was just the food that was there. But my youngest brother, Zach, he is much pickier, and he prefers, like, you know, cheese sticks or chicken nuggets over the food that we would usually eat. And in that way, he's much more difficult to accommodate.
Yeah.
And, like, the only difference in upbringing is that from very early childhood for the other 3 of us, we've just always been raised eating the same meals. And then for Zach, it's a little different. You know, everyone is a little busier. We're all a little older. Everyone was more on the go. Yeah. So we didn't have that same, like, effect on him. And it's very American. I don't think any of my cousins or their kids or anything like that who are in Russia, I don't think any of them have that with their kids either.
Interesting. Are there any other differences between, well, like, I'm sure there's plenty, but, like, between being a kid in America versus Russia that you've noticed?
Oh, yeah. Everything here is super gendered.
And that's not the case in Russia?
Not to the degree it's here. That was the biggest culture shock. Because when I moved here, I started fourth grade. So in Russia, my friend group was very, very mixed.
Yeah.
Like, there was almost an equal amount of boys and girls in it. And it, like, we never made a big deal out of it. We never separated to play games differently. For example, when playing house, when we were very, very young, right? Like, first grade, before that, we didn't necessarily have such a strict enforcement by the kids themselves of, like, the girls play the moms and the boys play the dads. There was surprisingly a lot of diversity in our house games. Like, we would have, you know, people working at the store and, like, a banker and, like, a grocer and a doctor. But it didn't necessarily have anything to do with gender. And then coming here and all of a sudden, if I want to play with boys, I'm going to be playing tag on a playground. And if I want to play with my girlfriends, we would be playing, like, we would be sitting around and chatting or, like, doing something that is less athletic and active. It was very, very difficult for me to put it together in the beginning of, like, why won't my two groups of friends, one the boy friend group and the other the girl friend group, why can't we all play together? Why do I have to, like, separate my time between the two? And, like, half of my lunch period, I'll go with the boys, and then the other half, I'll go with the girls. It was very, very confusing and, like, very frustrating, I would even say. And that's my least favorite part about moving here, even though overall, it was a pretty good experience.
Okay. Did you experience any other kind of culture shock when you first came to the United States?
Yeah. Everyone here dresses way more casually.
Yeah.
I mean, after the whole political instability and all the bad stuff stops happening, I actually would encourage people to visit Moscow because it is a beautiful city. And not only that, but, like, just the people who live in it and all over the country. Like, my grandparents are from a small town.
Yeah.
And even in that town, everyone dresses really, really, really nicely if they're going somewhere, even to the store. The way people dress in Russia to go grocery shopping,
yeah,
is the way that people here dress sometimes to go to, like, restaurants for, like, work events or with friends that they're seeing for the first time in months. That is the baseline for us there.
A business casual society.
not business casual. There's just, like, clothes are more fitted. I don't know. There's just, like, a bigger emphasis on neatness. It's just slightly different. Like, not saying that people here are necessarily shabby and, like, not well put together or whatever. There's just a different emphasis on it.
Okay.
And maybe that's not necessarily a good thing, right? Because now everyone kind of cares much more about what, like, how others see them, right? So there was a lot of that sort of pressure, too. Like, you have to look nice always. And I don't know, you've seen, like, the way I dress and how, like, I go to your house. I think it, like, stuck with me.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm saying I'm a pretty snazzy dresser.
You are a bit more polished than the rest of it. I just wear whatever. I don't give a crap about anything. I don't know. I used to. And then, it's a long story. I want to tell you.
Gave up on the snazzy dressing.
It's not quite that. I don't know.
She's a grizzled.
It's not a fun story. I don't want to tell it and bring down the mood.
No. I'm just roasting you.
I know. I'm just saying there is a story. But I wanted to, since I was thinking of this. So I watched this YouTube guy who goes around the world and goes to different countries. And one country he went to is Russia. And he kind of just goes to, like, what random restaurants he finds and tries things out. Like, he doesn't, like, try and find the best whatever in whatever place. Like, so he was near Red Square in Moscow, and he just asked some locals, like, where do you go to get this? And he went and got food there, and he was talking about how good everything was. And then finally he went to get ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the ice cream, and usually he's very positive and he tries to be very upbeat. And he tried the ice cream, and you could just see the look on his face of just like, this is the worst ice cream. He did not like the ice cream in Moscow very much.
Interesting.
It was the funniest thing. He complimented all the other food. He had some like dumplings that were really good, some soup that that had like beets in it. I forget what it was called that he really loved.
Yeah.
Borscht. Yeah, that's the word.
There's actually no tea at the end of it. I don't know why Americans borscht? Put it there. Yeah, it's just borscht.
It's not borscht?
Nope.
Weird.
And the word restaurant in Russia doesn't have the tea at the end either.
It's just restaurant.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do they have words that end in T, or is that like not something that happens in Russian?
I am sure we do, but as soon as you asked me that, I immediately forgot Russian.
You completely forgot the language.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. That was just a story that came to
mind.
No,
there's a million percent there are words that end in T.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What am I even saying? Yes.
Okay.
I just can't think of any.
Okay.
Oh, mouth. Yeah. Rot.
What?
The word mouth?
Yeah.
It's rot.
Rot?
It's like rot, but...
Yeah, with an sound at the front?
Rot, but with an O instead of an A.
Rot?
Yeah.
Okay. This is now our Russian learning podcast.
Yeah, it's 1 year anniversary. We're switching over to language learning
by
podcast.
Duolingo. That bird is going to kill you.
It is in my house. I am hostage right now.
Yes, yes. That bird, I have to translate this sentence in 30 seconds or else both my cats
self-destruct.
Get it.
Oh my God. Oh man.
Okay.
But yeah, what were we talking about? This is loosey-goosey.
This is just weird. I don't know. I thought we were going to talk about like
media that
influenced us and made us want to start the podcast, but we kind of just started talking about our lives.
Well, okay. I have a question for
yes.
you.
Yes. Ask away.
What is your first media crush?
Oh gosh. First media crush.
It doesn't have to be live action. It can be anything. It can be a music video. It can be a cartoon. It can be a newscaster. Whatever it is.
I'm trying to think. Because I feel like it's hard to distinguish between what was like a crush at that age. Like when you're young enough, like was it a crush or was it just like I thought that character was cool?
It's the same way for me, but also, like, I don't think at that age it really matters. So, like, whatever vibes you're getting right now for that answer.
Two characters come to mind. And again, mm-hmm. this is not really a crush, but I loved Baloo from Jungle Book.
Oh,
The bear. I loved him. I was obsessed with Baloo. I thought Baloo was, like, the coolest character in anything. And is it Rescue Rangers where Baloo is kind of a character in it? But
I have no idea.
No, it's not Rescue Rangers. What was it? There's something else. I need to find it. He was in Rescue Rangers, I think. And I loved him so much. I just really liked him. And then the other one that comes to mind is the Yellow Ranger from Power Rangers, who I don't remember the name of.
I know who you're talking about. She was great.
Didn't she have, what was her dinosaur? Did she have the pterodactyl?
Yeah, I do not remember.
Her Zord or whatever it was called. No, she had the cat one. She had the saber-toothed tiger. And I really liked her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So gotcha. I'd say that those two, like, I don't know, like, in terms of characters I really liked. So yeah, it would be Blue, Yellow Rangers. And then, like, what would the first, like, crush be? I would say, that's a little tougher. I'm going to have to think about that for a second, but you do yours.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I have a definite answer for you.
Okay. Let's hear the definite answer for me.
So the definite answer is that I lived with my parents in their college dorm until, like, the age of 5. In the dorm, this is one of my, like, most visual and tactile memories.
This is a core memory.
This is a core memory. So I'm, like, 4. I have my mom's red silk-ish PJs on. Just the pants. I'm shirtless. I have 2 or 3 of her necklaces, all of her bracelets, which was, like, 2 or 3 bracelets on, right? So I'm covered in jewelry with just my mom's pants on. I'm a tiny, tiny child, and I'm watching Prince of Egypt. because I was super jealous of Moses because Zipporah was so hot.
Okay, I need to.
I wanted to be Moses because of his wife in that cartoon.
I did see Prince of Egypt, but I don't remember what any of the characters look like. Okay, Zipporah was played by Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes, and Zipporah was excellent. And she carries through that mean girl energy that I have so avidly supported on this podcast.
She's kind of got like feisty Jasmine vibes.
Yes, Jasmine was a close third in my childhood crushes.
Okay, who's second?
So there is a Russian cartoon.
Yep.
It is called Neznaika na Lune, which translates to, which I just found out because I googled it. It's apparently in English called Dunno on the Moon. Like Dunno, like you don't know. D-U-N-N-O.
Yeah, I found it.
Because his name is, like the direct translation is that he doesn't know anything.
Okay.
So this little dummy. And there's a character in it, and I'm going to share the image with you. But her name is Zvezdochka, which translates to star.
Okay.
And she is a journalist. And she, like, in the cartoon, she is, like, trying to bring down the tyrannical rule of this capitalist that's basically, like, taking over the city that is located at the core of the moon. So below the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
Happy image. Let me share it with you.
A tyrannical government below the surface of the moon. Interesting.
And it is run by like this capitalist, and basically it's a really, really great cartoon. I grew up with it, and that is Zvezdochka.
Okay.
That's Star. And she's like this journalist, and she's like on the case, and there's a lot of adversity that she has to face, and I'm like, that is my wife.
So you like black hair and big earrings is what I'm getting from this.
Maybe don't psychoanalyze listen to me,
that
Chloe.
Listen to that nervous laugh. Listen to that nervous laugh.
Oh, what? Huh? I will say I do have a type. I don't know. You've played D&D with me.
Yeah.
You've like seen how I craft my characters.
D&D is closer than any psychoanalysis can be.
Absolutely. Did you think of yours other than Baloo?
Hey, I gave two already, Baloo and the Yellow Ranger. But I think for like the
person. Well, I gave you three.
That like, okay, that's fair. I'm going to give you a third. Celis from Final Fantasy VI.
Who that?
In Final Fantasy VI, you're going to hear this and you're going to be like, this is such a Chloe character. And I'm
excited.
Bracing myself for that. You meet her. So I guess spoilers for Final Fantasy VI. If spoilers for a 26, 27 year old video game.
Which is how old I am right now.
Yeah. Anyway, so this character, she's a general working for the evil empire. Val's already laughing at me. She defects. I don't know. She doesn't wear armor. She uses a sword.
Does she have a fancy hat?
She does not. I can definitely send you the art of her.
Yes, please.
Yeah, she doesn't have a fancy hat. She does have a nice outfit, though.
I mean, every woman in Final Fantasy has a fancy outfit. Oh, not as skin-revealing as I thought it'd be.
No, so this art is by Amaro, who's of Amaro. I don't know how you say his name. He's a very famous Japanese artist. And
she looks like your character.
He did a lot of the early... Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy art, and yeah, he's not as cheesecakey as some artists can be, I think.
It is a very stylized style, but it's recognizable. I've seen a lot of Final Fantasy art in that sort of like art style. It's really cool. I like it. I think they even have it in the piano sheet music book, right? They have like a similar thing. You have that book.
Yeah, I think... Oh, sorry, it's Amano, not Amaro. I apologize. Yeah, I mean, his art is all over the place, and he's a very kind of like, I don't know.
Seems like he's prolific with it.
He's very prolific, and then getting him to do art for whatever you have is very prestigious because he's very famous, and he did art for Magic the Gathering a few years ago, and everyone was super excited about it. Ooh. So, like,
do you have any examples of those? I would love to see it.
Yeah, and you know this person, Liliana.
I do know her. He did that art?
He did this art.
Oh, he did this art. Okay, gotcha. I have not seen that. I love Liliana.
Yeah.
She's a girl boss, and she has that vibe. You know who else I loved as a kid? I've never watched Sinbad all the way through. I've never watched that cartoon, but the villain in it, it stuck with me. She is excellent. I don't know her name. I don't know the story, but I know exactly what she looks like, and I have known since the moment I've seen her that I will never forget her as a character because she's just so hot.
Which Sinbad are we talking about here?
Probably, I think it's DreamWorks.
Yep. 2003 with Brad Pitt and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, that floaty haired lady.
Okay.
Have you watched it?
I have never seen it.
I think I was too young when I watched it. I really don't remember the plot or anything like that, but I remember her so clearly.
Yeah, never seen it. I don't even know anything about Sinbad.
I think he's like a thief or something. I mean, neither.
He's a sailor, right? I thought he was like a pirate, a swashbuckler.
Maybe, yeah. That's the vibes he gives me, but I have no idea.
Wait, that was Eris.
That's yes. Yeah.
The goddess of discord. It was played by Michelle Pfeiffer.
Is it?
Do you have a thing for Michelle Pfeiffer?
Oh my god. Well, I watched all of those in Russian. It wasn't her for me.
Okay.
But maybe she only plays characters that I'd be super into. I don't know.
That's
amazing. That is hilarious.
That is very funny.
Amazing. Or maybe she had the market cornered in like the mid-90s to early 2000s, like hot brunette women villain / girl boss characters.
I feel like she was doing like everything in the she was in like everything in the 2000s.
Probably.
And 90s, she was everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Chloe. Yes.
I know that you said you were going to prepare questions.
Yeah.
But I'm going to beat you to it and ask you another question.
Okay, here we go.
I was the one who kind of like came up with this and asked if you would be interested in doing a podcast with me.
Right.
What made you agree to it?
Wow, really putting me on the spot with this question. I think there were a couple reasons. One is just like it was pandemic times and like it was another thing to do that was just like, you know, something else. Like it was something more, something to distract from the world writ large. I think I like talking to you about media. It's what we connected over. Like, so I think we've mentioned the story of the terrible Dungeons and Dragons game that we played together. And
when we met.
That was our meet cute, if you will.
It was adorable. I think like we really clicked that day.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard that episode, basically Val had never played Dungeons and Dragons before. She went to this store in Williamsburg, the 20-sided store, which shout out to the 20-sided store because I love them.
Great place.
It's a great store. Val went there to try Dungeons and Dragons, and what had happened was I had been out and about and seen one of the new city bikes that has the like pedal assist. And I was like, oh, I'll rent one of those and just see where I go. And I went to Williamsburg and was like near the 20-sided store, which I used to be a DM at, but hadn't been to in like years. And I went in and I was talking to the owner because, you know, I knew her, Lauren. And she was like, well, we have a D&D game that has an open spot. Do you want to play? And I was like, sure, why not? You know, just give me a pre-gen character and I'll play. And that is where I met Val. It was just randomly, if I had not gotten that city bike and gone to play D&D, it was not a good game.
And it was the
first
time I've ever played too. So like, I've never done that before. So it was like a very cool way to meet. And then I invited you for lunch.
Yes.
And then we went to two bookstores, or like a comic book store and a
bookstore. And a regular bookstore. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think that was it. But you invited me to be a guest in your in the game that we are still in.
Yes, because I was kind of like, that game was bad. Come see what like a real game of D&D is like.
And I played Ront, our boy Ront,
the orc
NPC.
Who simultaneously was, so he was supposed to be like chaotic evil, but like over the course of the campaign, he sort of just became like.
He was our child.
Yeah, he was kind
he's
of just.
He's our party kid.
He was kind of like when a teddy bear in an animated series is lawful or is chaotic evil. Like, yeah, he was probably going to try and hurt everyone, but like. He was our guy who tried to hurt everyone, so it was
And here's
fine.
The thing, no one told me he was supposed to be evil. You all were like, yeah, he's an NPC, he's an orc, just play it however you would like.
I mean, but that, you put your own spin on it and worked, and it was really cool, and then made him into a much more interesting character, so
well, I'm
glad
Thank
we
you.
Didn't tell you.
Can you imagine me not knowing how to play D&D and already being chaotic?
That would I don't been... know how to answer that question. That I don't know amazing. How to answer that question at all.
Oh. Okay, so why did you say yes other than the quarantine?
I mean,
me being an extremely interesting person to talk to.
Like, I think prior to that, we had some interesting conversations about media. We had a lot of shared interests. You know, I haven't met many people. I don't meet a ton of people who like, you know, all the stuff that we like. Life is Strange, the Locked Tomb series, She-Ra, you know, like... It's a very, I know there's a lot of people out there who like all these things, but it's like, I don't know as many. Like, and some of our friends like some of these things, but few of our friends like all of them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was one thing that was like really nice was that we've experienced a lot of the same media and we always had something to talk about. And then, I don't know, like, I liked your plan for things. You know, you came to me and said, let's do this. And I was down. You had realistic expectations. You know, you didn't come to me and say,
like,
you didn't come to me and say, like, we're going to have a million listeners by year one and we're going to do this and we're going to, and you didn't, I don't know, like, there were no, like, bad things. It was just good. And I thought, like, this, I don't think I really hesitated either. Like, it wasn't.
No,
like,
you just said yes immediately. I think I had, like, a little speech prepared in case you were, like, not sure about it, but you're like, yeah, sure, let's do it.
I didn't we did see it. Many downsides. It seemed like all upside. Like, it's like the worst thing that happens is no one listens to it.
Yeah.
Or I put my foot in my mouth and embarrass myself in front of a lot of people, but I already probably do that, so.
Well, no, I edit all of that stuff out.
Yes, which is helpful.
I make you look real great.
I appreciate that. And
all the problematic stuff is cut out. Yeah. I shortened the recordings from 3.5 hours to about 50 minutes.
Yeah, we cut out all those rants, those political rants.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad. Yeah, yes. I know that for me, it was also like a thing to do. I was unemployed.
Yeah,
I was not in a great place. And I think having just like a little schedule at least once a week to do this, like, new weird hobby, that was very interesting.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I love chatting with you. And it gave me, like, an excuse to extra hour to talk.
What made you come up with the idea of doing the podcast in the first place?
Well, I, like 7 billion other people on this planet, thought that I could make a podcast.
So it was just millennial ennui?
I love podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to My Favorite Murder pretty regularly. I mean, for the past few months, I haven't been able to just because of scheduling and just not having free time.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to them for years. I've listened to the first two campaigns of The Adventure Zone. I've listened to all of NatPod. I listened to a bunch of other smaller D&D podcasts. I listened to, like, True Crime. So podcasts are really, really big for me. I like the podcasts where people talk to each other. Like, I like different types of them, right? And I thought that it would be something interesting to do. It's a very low effort in a sense.
You're not,
like,
you're not
we prepare
supposed to
for
tell
it.
That. You're supposed to say, like, we do a lot of work every episode.
We do a lot of work. It, like, we have to... First of all, we've only missed 1 week. And that was because of a recording, like, error.
Well,
we just recorded a really bad episode, and
yeah,
we couldn't put it out. The quality was not there.
Someday, people Hopefully will ask not. About the secret bad episode.
It's just, it's not magical or mystical. It was just a bad episode, and the thing we covered was not great, and it was something I picked, and I haven't read it before I picked it. I just thought it would be good, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to be uplifting or, like, you know, like, we've definitely had episodes where we kind of dished on what we watched, but, or read or whatever, but, like, this one was just,
it was
just
a smaller
really,
thing, and it was not good.
And we were just really mean, and it just, that whole energy of the of that episode was just, like, not
I started fun. Editing it, and I was like, I didn't want to put that out there, because that's not really us.
Yeah. Right.
Something about it didn't click. So out of a year, which technically was last week's episode, was the year.
Yeah.
We only missed 1 week, and that was for pretty good reason. And I don't think most podcasts get to this.
We couldn't
You've told me the stats.
We couldn't record another one because I was out of town or something. I was at a conference.
Yeah, I think you were traveling. Yeah. But also, like, we kind of slacked on having a backlog, which we're still doing. But one day we'll get back to having, like, two or three episodes in the back pocket.
Our episodes are timely. See, you got to put the positive spin on things, Val. Anyway, I was reading. There was some statistic that, like, most podcasts don't make it to 15 episodes. And so the fact that we've made it past 50 is actually, like, a big deal.
I love editing it, even though, like, sometimes I'm rushing or, like, I have to stay up to, like, 4 a.m. or whatever. Like, I enjoy editing it. It is fun to edit. I also enjoy talking to you about it.
Yeah.
It's good to have that sort of, like, very concrete thing that every week on Thursday we're going to release an episode. And, like, it doesn't matter what I have to do to get it done. It's, like, a thing I have to do. Which I don't think I've done with many things in my life. Like, I used to play piano. I told you this.
Yeah.
I kind of quit that. I quit taekwondo as a kid. I quit dancing, which I hated, but, like, I quit it. I quit a lot of stuff over the course of my life very easily. And this is, like, one of the very few things that I'm like, no, this is really fun. And I don't necessarily care where it goes. I would love for us to grow.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be amazing. But I'm so satisfied with what we have right now that, I don't know, it's just great. It's just two funky little dudes recording, you know? Like, it's awesome. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be more than that.
And you shared a lot of really cool media with me.
Yeah, same. There are so many things I never would have checked out but for this podcast. So
yeah, it's really fun.
And that leads very naturally to one of my questions.
Okay.
Which
Bring
is
it on.
It's a mean question. It's the
I love mean questions.
It's the desert island question, which is like if you had to pick one of the things we covered, like that was like your entertainment on a desert island.
Ancillary Justice. That trilogy.
Wow.
You don't even have to finish that question. That is that's my favorite.
Okay.
It's feel good. I love the character. I think I've told you this before, but, like, I have a lot of difficulty rewatching, rereading things.
Yeah.
Almost nothing that I've consumed as media in my life, I've rewatched. Like, when I was a kid, it doesn't count. I'm going to watch the same cartoon as a child, like, a million times. That's one thing. But, like, as a cognitive person with, like, the ability to watch things and understand them, right? So when the brain is formed, since then, there are very, very few things that I was able to rewatch. Fifth Element is one of them, and the Imperial Raj trilogy is the second one.
Okay.
And, like,
did we do the Fifth Element? We haven't done the Fifth Element.
I would love to do the Fifth Element. I know we watched it as a group like a year ago, and it was awesome.
That would be good for, like, summer blockbuster season.
Yeah, and it's queer enough.
There's definitely some queerness, some subtle queerness in it.
And not some subtle.
That's true. That too.
And the costuming.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Anlecky's, any of Anlecky's books, actually.
Okay.
Like, Provenance, I can give or take. But the Raven Tower, that was a really good book that she wrote. It's her only fantasy.
Okay.
And the trilogy. Yeah, I love them. What about you? See, I caught that and I threw it right back at you.
Yeah, I'm guessing I can't choose the award-winning MMO Final Fantasy XIV on a desert island. That's a little cheating. I mean, if I'm allowed to game Mass Effect easily, okay. That trilogy, I have spent so much time thinking, playing, and talking about Mass Effect. Like, I don't know if I made this clear when we recorded the episode, but I spent a lot of time on the subreddit writing theories and ideas and talking about it. And like, I was immersed in that universe of Mass Effect. But if it was a book, I think I'd go with the Beru Cormorant series.
Oh, yeah, those are excellent.
They're so good. There's so much going on there. Like, Seth Dickinson did so much good work in terms of, like, understanding how an empire functions.
And just, like, the humanity of it.
The inhumanity of it.
Yeah, but the humanity in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
The humanity and the inhumanity. Anyway.
Yeah, I think we pretty much pick, like, books for a similar reason.
Yeah.
The Baru ones are just, like, they're so painful to read. But very difficult to put down. And in the end, like, you understand and you kind of, in some way, still feel very good about it. And, like, I wouldn't say it's a positive story.
Yeah.
But there are so many meaningful things coming out of it. And so many really, really good relationships. And, yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, what is your least favorite of the things we've covered?
I think you know.
Is it all about E?
I'm mad at that clarinet. But okay, actually no. I loved talking about that movie.
It was a fun conversation.
Despite it being like not the greatest masterpiece in the world, it was such a delight to have a conversation like that. I had a lot of fun in that episode. So no, I will not pick that. Let me look at our list.
Okay. For me, there's Carol. But again, yeah, we had so much fun kind of ragging on it that it's almost hard to pick that one. They/them. Maybe it's recency bias, but that one was kind of painful to talk about.
I don't know. I feel like because we were like on the same page. I don't know. I had fun with it.
Yeah.
I would say Cyberpunk, mostly because I do not remember what we talked about at all. And I was probably with that audio file for like 3 hours.
I do think Cyberpunk, yeah, that's a good point.
I really don't remember it.
I don't remember. I remember we talked about Carrie Anodyne and Judy, but I don't, yeah, oh, I that's really right. Don't remember.
Yeah, it's just like, for some reason, it was a very forgetful episode. A close second is First Kill, but that's because I dislike that so much.
But we had fun talking about that.
Yeah, once again, like, that's why it wasn't,
yeah,
like...
I do like that you, like, talked about it, and then were still so upset by it that you went on Tumblr and wrote a long thing and then argued with people about it.
I was livid. And then I think I, like, ragged about it in our Discord as well to our friends. And they're like, oh, I guess we shouldn't watch it. I'm like, don't you dare watch it.
But also watch it so we could talk about it.
Well, no, I didn't say that. You were like, you said that. You're like, okay. No, but also watch it so you understand why Val is mad.
I don't know. Sometimes hate watching is good. It can be fun.
I didn't have that much fun with that one. Okay. I had fun with All About E.
Yeah.
I had some fun with Carol, even though like watching it twice really was soul draining.
It just takes so long. It just feels so long. Anyway. kind of covered my other questions.
Yeah, what other questions did you have? Because I've spent 50 minutes, 45 minutes talking about my questions.
Okay.
And then I gave you the last 15 because I'm very nice like that. Which is why when we talk about it, I haven't spoken about my personal stuff until a year in because I knew this was going to happen. I was going to monopolize all the time.
Okay, I was going to ask, because you, like me, have read some fanfic. What was the first time you, like, sought out fanfiction, and what was it for?
Oh, okay, so this is actually a story.
Yeah.
So I know exactly when I did it.
Okay.
Legend of Korra Season 3 just came out.
Yep.
Episode 1 was airing on Nickelodeon.
Yep.
I was at my grandparents' place. It might have been a Friday even, because I was at my grandparents' place, and we usually get together on Fridays.
Yeah.
And my cousin was there with me. And you know the scene where Asami is giving Korra a driving lesson?
Yeah.
And Korra crashes?
Yep.
It's in the very beginning. It's like a whole thing. And I looked at that scene, and I turned to my cousin, and I'm like, that is fruity.
Yeah.
And this is me saying it while I wasn't in any fandom, basically.
Right.
I had a Tumblr for a few years at that point, but it was like, it had a lot to do with like music and bands and all that stuff, right? Like, okay. 2010s Tumblr.
Yeah.
So I didn't know fandom or participate in it, really. And I pointed out that like, oh, this is some queer stuff happening. And my cousin's like, well, I'd like to temper your expectations, because she was in a lot of fandoms.
Right.
And she said, it's not going to happen, but I have a solution for you.
Okay.
And she showed me, I think she showed me Archive.
Okay.
But possibly fanfiction.net.
Okay.
And she's like,
two big ones, yeah.
There are people out there and they just write stories about these characters and you have a million to choose from. And she very much was like, most of these sort of ships never happen, so this will feed your soul.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it'll happen, it's fine, because look at them. And then it happened, so I was just spoiled from the very beginning. And so that is the first time I've actually read a fanfic.
Do you remember what the first fanfic, was it just Korra?
Absolutely
was
not.
Was there an AU or anything? Okay.
I have no idea. Okay. I don't remember any fanfics I read.
Okay.
There are some I remember, of course, but, like, not off the top of my head, and I won't be able to, like, tell you about them, because I have bad recall.
Okay.
What about you?
So, I had some exposure to fanfic in, like, high school, because, sorry, I'm, like, adjusting in my chair. I'm, like, getting comfy to tell this story. So I used to frequent Something Awful, which is a website. It was like, if you don't know what Something Awful is, it's basically, it was the weird forums where like everything that you know about the modern internet kind of comes from there, but you don't really know that it came from there, but it all came from there. Mm-hmm. It a lot of
That's
early
such
internet
a
culture.
Chloe website. Like, it I've is. Never heard of it, but.
Well,
yeah.
They invented memes.
Gotcha. Okay.
They were called image macros back then, but they invented them. Like,
amazing.
That's where they came from. I don't know. Like, 4chan exists because some guy got banned from their anime forum and he went and made 4chan. So like, it's just like, okay. you learn all this stuff about like, oh, actually everything that's like big on the internet is due to Something Awful. You just didn't know it. But like, there used to be a lot of like threads on there mocking stuff. And I remember they were, you know, like one thing that was very commentary was mocking fan fiction and especially like furry fan fiction. So I think that was like my first exposure to fan fiction was like them posting like the bad ones. Mm-hmm. But I remember like following it and I don't remember what website. It might even have been like a Live Journal. I don't know if you were active on the
never
net for the Live
it.
Journal era.
No. I graduated high school in 2013.
But so fair, like, fair. Yeah. Yeah. Live Journal, if you had been a couple years earlier, just like a couple years earlier.
I think I missed it by a year or two.
Yeah. Like Live Journal was the space for like pretty much anything. I don't know. Like I had a Live Journal and it was just like you would just talk about your day or you'd post your art or song lyrics. It was just kind of like what Facebook, I guess, mm-hmm. is now.
It's kind of like Facebook and Tumblr together. It's
yeah,
kind of anonymous, but yeah. It's also like not anonymous enough. Yeah.
And
yeah.
There was so much drama. Like I remember one of my friends stopped talking to me over Live Journal drama for like a year. But like anyway, I remember following some fanfic back and I somehow got into this group and it was all Star Wars.
All
fanfic.
About E. Oh, okay. Okay.
And I read some fanfic where it was like the Empire Triumphs fanfic, and I don't remember what it was called, but that was like, I think, the first fanfic I ever read. It was really cool. Like, I, you know, you always like a good, the bad guy wins story. It's always interesting. Yeah. And this was simpler times where like the evil fascists winning did not feel quite so close to home. Then also, like you, Kurosami kind of pulled me back into fanfic. I also read, it's interesting, one of my favorite Korra fanfics was actually one that was Korra and Azula.
Okay.
Which was weird. It was definitely like an Azula apologia. Like
I love Azula. I forgive her for everything. She's my little meow meow. So continue, please. Okay.
It was like Azula, you know, lost the fight, gets frozen in ice, and wakes up 50 amazing. Years later, okay. or whatever, and then somehow ends up with Korra. It's an amazing fanfic. It was actually really well written, and like,
I love those, just like the weirdest thing
I know
in the world. Weird. But then the writer is like amazing Pulitzer level writer, exactly. with like perfect vocabulary and amazing imagery.
Right? It's just like there's just people who just knock out of the park. They take this weird concept and they knock out of the park. Yeah. So that's what comes to mind is like the first fanfic that I read that I was just like, wow, I need to read more. I read a lot of Clexa because the ending for them was
I read a little bit of them, yeah.
It was so awful.
We still haven't done the episode, but that's because it's like, I feel like it's just going to be not great. We're just going to be just angry.
Picking at a scab.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've never been so affected by a ship ever in my life.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't even a huge fan of the show. I was a pretty big fan, but it wasn't my favorite. I was in the fandom, but I wasn't super active. And when that happened, I just like felt very personally attacked. And I've never had that happen to me with media because I don't care that much about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Why am I so, like, very personally mad? Yeah, we'll do it one day, but I feel like we'll need to mentally prepare for at least, like, a few months for it.
Definitely. And I don't know, maybe we can talk about some of the fanfics when we do it to, like, soften the blow a little. Because there's this great one. It's one where Clark gets reincarnated as the Ice Queen.
Ooh.
That was like really cool. well written, and it was weird, but I don't know if it ever finished. I never finished it. It was very long, but it was a lot of fun. Anyway, nice.
I know you want to do an episode on fanfic, yeah.
Well, I want It'll us be to pick a fic or two and talk about that, because I feel like no one talks about fanfic, but I feel like there's so much of it, and there's so many good fics being written out there, and we could just, you know, talk about them. This is for the same reason why I like to do episodes where we talk about like tabletop role-playing games, because I feel like there's a lot of podcasts and YouTube channels where they kind of review these things from a very technical element, like this is, you know, blah blah blah,
the history world. And here's how they affected
for like an RPG, it's very like technical, like this it uses a 2d6 apocalypse world system, but like I feel like it's important also to put out episodes where we talk about like what it's like to actually play the game, and same with fanfic, where I think it's important
that's what I was
to have about. Some like
it's usually placed in a context of like how it affected the writing, like the writers of today and the history of it and how it affected like copyright law and all that stuff, but it's never like about the content or the fans or the writers. Yeah.
And I don't think it ever even gets mentioned aside from the fact that like people will be like, well, you know, Twilight started, or not Twilight, Fifty Shades of Grey started as a Twilight fanfiction. That's like the one thing you hear about fanfic. And it's like, there's so much out there. People are posting like thousands of stories like every single day.
There are stories that are millions of words long.
Yeah.
There
What's
are
that
stories
famously
that
bad
has taken like years fun, to
Ebony
finish.
Darkness Raven Way, the Harry Potter one.
And look at the effect that single phrase had on the internet.
Yeah. And then there's the Snape Wives. We should talk
about what?
I mentioned this term, and I'm always surprised that so few people know about Snape Wives.
Well, it's because you're on the website that created memes when you were a child. Okay, like,
but like,
no
I
one
don't
knows
know.
The things you
I
know
it
about
from
the internet.
YouTube, not from something awful. But like,
which also, just like a very quick thing, like, was it last week that we watched that YouTube thing? Yeah, on Thursday, yeah. We watched the YouTube video, and we had the same exact opinions, which says a lot about us as people.
It's true. We both reacted the same way to everything the person was saying.
As did the person that we were watching. She was, like, on point. What is her name? It was
Strange Aeons, I think.
Okay, yeah. She's like, I'm going to talk about this thing. And we're both like, that thing sucked. And she's like, this thing sucked.
Yeah, she rules. If you haven't checked her out on YouTube, I highly recommend it. She kind of reviews internet culture. She's actually the one who does the thing on Snape Wives. So,
okay.
Yes, that's so how just, I know I about it, gonna, is through her.
Uh-huh. What is that?
So it's like people who were kind of into like Harry Potter fan fiction that were obsessed with Snape and then kind of became convinced that Snape was real and they were married to him.
What?
Yes. They had all these things about like Snape is going to like come back to life or something. He's going to marry me.
Okay, or said like, send me the video like 2 minutes ago, but don't send me that video.
It's really kind of sad, I think, on some level, but also extremely weird and interesting to learn about.
It is weird and funny, but all stories like that are just so sad. It's just, it's people in mental distress or mentally ill. It's...
Well, just scratching out my question that was going to be, so who's your waifu?
I don't know what that means.
It's a term that people use for like fictional character that would be your wife. Your waifu.
I refuse to answer that.
You don't have to answer. It was a joke. It was just making a joke.
No, I know. Because I already answered it. But I would never use the word waifu.
It's Michelle Pfeiffer.
That is hilarious.
Oh, God.
Well, Chloe.
Yes.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it. Thank you all for listening. If you made it this far.
Thank you for listening about me and then a little bit about Chloe.
Well, no, I got some stories in. They learned all about my allergies, which, you know, I'm sure that's very useful information that you're going to deploy into your everyday lives.
Yes, do not kill Chloe.
I would appreciate it.
Do not use it against her.
Yeah, that would be bad. There'd be no more episodes, or maybe Val would continue on in my stead.
I will give up immediately.
She'll replace me.
I'll replace. Okay, maybe, probably.
You'll get Tesla. We need to have her back on anyway.
And Sarah and Becky. I'll get Becky.
Okay.
Becky was on my side of the argument that we had with the locked tomb.
Okay.
She's going to be my new co-host.
Yeah, get your yes man as a co-host. That'll be a good podcast. Never any disagreement. On that note, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for giving us one great year, and we're looking forward to another great year. And we'll be back next week with a regular episode, so don't worry. You don't have to listen to us ramble about ourselves again.
No, until, they loved it.
Until next year. when we do the follow-up to this, where we discuss
the 100th episode,
how young
where
and
I
naive.
Go over my allergies.
Yeah, the 100th episode where we talk about the 100.
Oh my god, no. I refuse.
Okay, fine.
What do we have?
We have a Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. It is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. You can email us at InMediaLez@gmail.com, and our website is InMediaLez.com. And our Tumblr is...
ThePodInMediaLez.tumblr.com.
Yes, thank you,
And I think I'm doing an excellent job with it.
I have not.
I've been reblogging just like all the other people on Tumblr reblog.
Awesome. I am going to check it out. I already see that there's locked tomb stuff. So I think you're doing a stand up job. Thank you, everyone who's listened, rates, likes, subscribes, lates. What the blah, 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 blah. Thank you, everyone. And.
Oh, that's me.
That's you.
I'm all talked out. We'll see you in the next one.
God bless you.